We are today celebrating All Saints Day, which technically was November the 1st, but we're close enough. And All Saints Day, as I was telling the kids, is a day to recognize those who've gone before us in the Lord. There's been many traditions that have arisen, both corporate and personal, about how to celebrate All Saints Day and what's known as the Communion of the Saints, or the Fellowship of the Saints, or the Spiritual Union of the Saints. And I was reading a story about the other day, a personal way that this fellow and his family celebrated the Communion of the Saints. He was a family of three brothers, actually, and one of them moved, they were all from Ireland, and one of them moved to a new hamlet, a little village in Ireland, and he went into the pub, and he sat down at the bar, and he ordered three beers, not one, three. So the bartender brought one, and he says, "No, I told you I wanted three." And he says, "I thought you just meant you wanted three, one after the other. You want three all together?" "Yeah, I want three beers all together. Put them down." So the bartender brought the three beers and put them down on the bar, and the fella drank all three beers. He got up and he left. The bartender thought that was pretty strange. So next day, the same guy comes in, sits down, and says, "I want three beers." Bartender comes over and says, after he got done drinking them, "I noticed that you had three beers yesterday. I just wonder kind of what's going on." He says, "Well, I've got two younger brothers, and one of them moved to America, and the other one moved to Australia. And before those guys moved away, we made a pact here in Ireland that every time we would drink, we would include each other, and that's why I'm drinking three beers, because the other two are for my two brothers, and that's how we celebrate the fellowship that we have as brothers." And the bartenders thought, that's really cool, and he told everybody in the little village who kind of, he got this reputation then, this fellow, about the, he was called the Three Beer Man. And everybody thought that was really neat. And then one day he came into the bar and he sat down at the bar and he said, "I'll have two beers." And the bartender had a little bit of a heavy heart and he put two beers down in front of him. The guy drank his two beers and went on his way. And the word quickly spread around town that the three beer guy is suddenly drinking only two beers. And the next day he comes in and the bartender says, "On behalf of all the people in the community and myself, I'd like to extend my condolences for the loss of one of your brothers." And this fellow sat there and thought about it for a minute. He says, he says, "My brothers are just alive and well and fine. It's just that I decided to give up drinking." So that's how one fellow celebrated the Communion of the Saints. Now you know why I told you the story before we read the scriptures. I'm reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the first two verses, and then I'll pick up at the last of the letter. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. "I am writing to all the saints in the church at Corinth and to all of his holy people throughout Greece. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus give you grace and peace." Paul opens seven of his letters with those same words, from Paul to all the saints at a certain place. And at the close of this same letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, to the end of the letter, "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you." Now, if you're reading along in the New Living Testament, you didn't read that phrase because they've got that rendered a little differently. He's got all of God's people here send you their greetings. But the King James, which I don't call upon very often, but even so, the King James and the Authorized Version and the English Standard and the Revised Standard and the New American Standard Version and all the better translations of the Bible indeed say, "All the saints salute you." And that's the phrase that I want to pick up on today. And then Paul closes this by saying, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And then in the letter to Hebrews, we were there last week, we read chapter 10, and I want to pick up here in chapter 11. I'm not going to read it all because it's long, but let me say to you that chapter 11 in Paul's letter, or not Paul's letter, whoever wrote Hebrews, we don't know for sure, chapter 11 is considered the hall of faith. where all these heroes of the faith are listed throughout this long chapter. And he mentions Abel, and he mentions Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham, and Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. And he mentions Rahab, and all these other Old Testament heroes. And that's the first 32 verses. We just read 32 verses. Now we're coming to the conclusion of this glorious chapter when he says, "How much more do I need to say, for it would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of people like Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions." I guess that's a reference to Samson. "They quenched the flames of fire and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from the dead. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawn in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the grounds. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us." He's talking about heaven. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us, by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this reading of your word and pray that you would bless it to our hearts as we consider what it means to be a saint and to celebrate the communion of the saints, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Who among us here would be willing to raise your hand and say, "I'm a saint"? No saints in this place? There was a famous 19th century preacher named Alexander White, who was a Presbyterian pastor who was very much loved by his congregation. He ministered for over 40 years in the same congregation, and he had a lot of respect. He also had respect for himself. He knew his inner being. He knew his heart. One day, a lady from his congregation came into his office to visit with him and said, Pastor White, I'm just so blessed to be in your congregation. I just love you so much. You're just like a saint to me. And he thought about that for a moment, and then he said to that woman, "Woman, I appreciate what you're trying to say, but if you could see into my heart, you would spit in my face." Alexander White was one who was ready to say that he was a saint. If he would have been here sitting among us today, and I would have said, "Are there any saints in this congregation?" he wouldn't have raised his hand. He'd have been there with you. None of you raised your hands either. But I'm here to tell you today what a saint is. Okay? There's sometimes a little confusion about what a saint is. Many people are reticent to raise their hand and put themselves in the accompaniment with saints. There's two reasons. One, because some know that the word saint, translated literally in the New Testament, really means holy ones. And if I were to ask you, who in this room would be willing to raise their hand and say they live a holy life, probably no one would do that, because none of us are bold enough to say, "I live a holy life." And the other reason that people are reticent to identify themselves with the community of saints is, of course, the way the Catholic Church pronounces sainthood on certain and special people only. And many, many people who we know probably lived more holy lives than we are turned down for sainthood. And so many people don't like to identify themselves as a saint. But what are we going to do when we read these letters of Paul and he addresses each one of them to the saints at a certain place? Does that automatically exclude all of us if we are not a saint? What's going on here? Who are the saints anyway? And you probably know this. You guys are just sitting there being patient with me. You're probably even thinking in your mind right now, go ahead, get to the point. Who are the saints? Anyone and everyone who has ever pledged their faith in Christ's death and resurrection and are therefore considered Christians are saints. Everybody. Who said amen? Oh, Don, thank you. Everybody who's in Christ, anybody who's turned in their sinfulness and traded it or exchanged it for Christ's righteousness is a saint. How do we understand that? When Paul says, this is Paul writing to you saints or you holy ones at Corinth or Ephesus or wherever it may be, how are we holy? How do we? We've been made holy. We may not live perfect lives, but we have been made holy by becoming Christians, by giving our faith to Christ. And it's called the Great Exchange, where we change in our sinfulness and receive in turn Christ's righteousness. And in that sense, we are perfect, we are holy, we are saints. So if you claim to be a Christian, you can also claim you are a saint. So let me ask the question again. How many people in this room today are saints? Raise your hand. All right, you're saints. Turn to one another and say, I'm a saint. Just gave you some bragging rights. Now, to be sure, there are a few saints on this earth. And I use the word few saints on this earth because the truth is the vast majority of the saints of God are already in heaven. They're in heaven, the vast majority of saints. Technically speaking, Bible scholars have referred to those saints, the likes of you and I, who are still on the face of the earth, as militant saints. Militant saints. That is, we are striving and struggling and fighting on behalf of God's kingdom on this earth. And in that sense, we on the earth are known as militant saints, according to Bible scholars, who also call those saints who are already in heaven glorified saints because they've ceased struggling. They rest from their labors, as it were. So there's militant saints on earth. There's glorified saints in heaven. And the phrase communion of the saints, which first appeared in the Apostles' Creed, not long after Jesus left the earth, as the apostles got together and decided, what are we going to believe in? Tradition says that each one of the apostles contributed a certain phrase to that, what's known as the Apostles' Creed. But one of the phrases in there is, I believe in the communion of the saints. What is that? It's recognizing the spiritual union which exists between the militant saints on earth and the glorified saints in heaven. And its biblical origin is in Paul's letters, where he speaks of the body of Christ, the universal church, the body of Christ, and how it's all one, whether we're on earth or whether we're in heaven. And so the communion of the saints is an important phrase in the church that recognizes the spiritual unity which exists between those of us here and those who've gone on. All Saints' Day was derived as a holiday in the church way back when to celebrate this communion of the saints, All Saints' Day, in which we remember those particularly who've gone on to be with the Lord as we are going to do today. You were invited to submit names of those persons who were meaningful in your lives and close to you. And I'll just tell you right now that while we're serving the communion today, that Gail and I are going to read all the names of the loved ones that you have submitted to us. And what we're going to do is, as the bread is being passed out, we will read half the names, and then we will receive the bread together. And then as the juice is passed out, we will read the remaining names, and then we'll receive the juice. And in this way, we'll participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion, which, by the way, is open to anyone here in this room who is part of the Christian faith. You're welcome to receive this communion. So the communion of the saints and All Saints' Day is something that it's appropriate to celebrate, to remember. The letter to the Hebrews speaks of this whole thing when it says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who is that great cloud of witnesses? All those people he was talking about in chapter 11, starting with Enoch and Abel and all those dudes, Moses and all those people that he mentions, and all the people who've passed away since then, we are surrounded, this writer wants us to know, by this great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on to run the race with perseverance. That's the idea. That's what we celebrate on All Saints Sunday. Paul speaks of the same sentiment when at the end of Corinthians he says, all the saints salute you. All the saints salute you. If you could imagine with me being in the first century church at Corinth, which didn't meet in a place like this, they were meeting in house churches when Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians. And they were meeting in somebody's courtyard, probably, that would only hold about 25 people max, the archaeologists tell us. So if you can imagine being with 25 people, you've heard that a new letter is coming from your founding pastor, Paul, and so you've gathered together to worship the Lord on a Sunday morning, knowing you're going to hear this letter read. The people in the church at Corinth were just ordinary Heinz of 57 variety type people. There weren't anything special. The Bible scholars tell us that the people who made up the church at Corinth were slaves and servants and common working folk, and that they, in light of the fact that they were part of the Roman Empire, felt very insignificant and probably felt the threat of persecution that went on towards Christians all around the world, including Corinth. And they just didn't feel very important at all. And they're sitting around reading this letter, and Paul comes to the end of it, and he's concluding, and you could tell by what he was saying there, and he says in the midst of this conclusion, all the saints salute you. And immediately these guys that are sitting around there start remembering the stories that Paul has already told them about people like Stephen, who was martyred for the faith. His story is told in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Or perhaps they remember the stories that Paul has told them about the first great persecution of the church, which Paul himself was involved with, that's talked about in Acts chapter 8. Perhaps they're thinking about James, James, the brother of John, who was martyred by Herod, who had a sword, run through with a sword. They're thinking, these Corinthians, these ordinary people, about all these great heroes that they've heard about. And just like you and I would be, we would lift our heads up a little higher. Paul says, all the saints salute you, to those Corinthians, because he wants them to stand up and walk out of that place with their head held a little higher and to be encouraged to continue to run the race, to emulate the people that they've already heard about who we consider now heroes in the faith. And Paul wants these ordinary Heinz 57 variety Christians to think, wow, I'm really something because the Lord has saved me and I have a chance to follow all these people I've heard about and I can be a hero too. That's what it's all about. And they're a great cloud of witnesses, and we need to remember them. It's appropriate and it's right, and it's a lovely thing to do, to remember those who've gone on before and to take encouragement from their lives and hear them say to us, I salute all you guys. It's important to remember them and to give thanks to God for them as we do so. How many of you remember Mr. Rogers. Anybody watch Mr. Rogers on TV? After he retired, I think it was the year 1997, he received an Emmy Award, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he gave a little speech that I thought would be appropriate for us to watch right now at this time. And if you wouldn't mind, Gail, would you show us that video, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, the best neighbor any of us has ever had, Fred Rogers. For giving generation upon generation of children confidence in themselves, for being their friend, for telling them again and again and again that they are special and that they have worth. It is my honor, on behalf of everyone here and on behalf of the millions of children whose mornings you have brightened with your kindness, to present you with this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, it's a beautiful night in this neighborhood. So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here, some are far away, some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are. Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. You know, they're the kind of people television does well to offer our world. Special thanks to my family and friends and to my co-workers in public broadcasting, family communications, and this academy for encouraging me, allowing me all these years to be your neighbor. May God be with you. Thank you very much.
Ten seconds to think about those people that are special in your lives, who looked out after you, many, if not most, of whom prayed for you, and we're highly influential in the fact that you're here in this place right now. So many grandmothers and grandfathers, so many fathers and mothers prayed for so many of us right here. And the very fact that we're here today is an answer to their prayers. And this is a day when we recall them, we remember them. We give thanks to God for these special people in our lives on All Saints Day. It's an amazing thing, really. So many stories of faith, so many wonderful connections with people in our lives. And that goes for Cross Point Community Church. We've had some very special people along the 18 years of our existence, and I'd like to mention a couple of them. I consider them saints, as you do too. One of them was Marty McMahon. Marty McMahon was a saint in all of our eyes who knew her. She was one who was highly committed to worshiping the Lord every Sunday, despite the fact that there were very many, many Sundays when she walked in the door, we said to her, "You shouldn't be here today," because she was very ill. But as the saying goes, neither rain nor sleet nor hail nor snow nor infirmity could keep Marty McMahon away from worshiping the Lord with everything she had. She would often say to me, as she often did to you, I'm sure, "Look at all that Jesus has done for me. Surely this is something that I can do for Him." And so in that sense, Marty McMahon salutes you today. And she's saying, run the race with perseverance by committing yourself to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and let it show in worship. We salute Marty McMahon today as she salutes us. She's in that great cloud of witnesses that's looking down and cheering us on, and we have the ability to look up to her and say, thanks for your life, and doggone it, thanks for your inspiration, Marty. Marty McMahon. There was a fellow by the name of Bob Taylor who hung out on this seat every Sunday morning, and who more than anything else, his constant prayer was, Lord, fill every seat in this place. That's what Bob Taylor would pray continually. Fill every seat in this house. If you're sitting in one of these chairs today and you've come to us since Bob Taylor was with us, perhaps you're an answer to his prayer. Isn't that awesome? Bob Taylor came to know the Lord later in life. He was one of those rare ones who came in as late. Bob was an adult, and he was so appreciative of everything that Christ had done for him, and he was so excited about telling others the same thing, that he was all about reaching people for Christ. And so Bob Taylor salutes us today. He's cheering us on, and he's saying, run the race with perseverance by reaching everybody you can for the sake of Christ. That's Bob Taylor. Ken Jones was another one, an important member of our congregation who's gone on to be with the Lord a year ago last July. Many of us knew Ken. We knew his commitment. We knew that after he retired that he came and volunteered to be on the church staff. He was an integral part of all the ministries we have going on here. He loved us being in Chippewa Lake. He was thrilled with the opportunities we had to reach out to people in this community. He was in on the conception and the inauguration of our Gather to Scatter projects, and he was out on every one of them, digging with a shovel or whatever it took. Ken Jones was right there with us. He was one who was financially committed to the biblical principles of Christian stewardship, and he lived it out day in and day out, and he wasn't shy about standing right here where I am right now, sharing with all you, encouraging all you to get right with God as it concerns your personal finances. So Ken Jones, in that sense today, salutes us here at Crosspoint, and he's saying, run the race with perseverance by committing yourselves to finding out what God wants you to do with your finances, and then just do it. That's Ken Jones. That's what he would say if he was here today. Kenny Jones, God bless him. There was Sharon Petruna, who in my mind had the gift of hospitality. And she not only exhibited the gift of hospitality in her family, I recall that in the Petruna household there was a standing invitation for everybody in Bob and Sharon's family to come over on Sunday afternoon and sharing a meal that they cooked together. Sharon had the gift of hospitality that she shared not only with her family, but she shared with the church family here too. I could still see Bob and Sharon walking in the church participating in our youth club program. They served as table parents, and their job was to share the gift of hospitality with children, just to sit down at a table with them and be like Mr. Rogers to them, just to love them and help them know that you're really important. And Sharon and Bob, Sharon Petruna today salutes us. And she says, run the race with perseverance by using the gifts that God has given you to advance His kingdom, no matter what capacity that might be, with youth or Bible or whatever. Then there was Marie Kehoe. Marie Kehoe, who was a saint of God. Marie, who was a servant of the Lord. Marie, we can still see her and Lee back there every Friday night community meal, helping to prep and serve the community meal. Marie had a servant's heart. She was very faithful in going over to Lodi and visiting Dwayne and Grace Fulton, 90-year-old shut-ins, are part of our fellowship and our family here. And Marie really enjoyed going over there and visiting and bringing cheer into the lives of Dwayne and Grace Fulton. Marie Kehoe, who lived her life by the saying of Jesus, who said, "I came into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." And in that respect, Marie Kehoe salutes you today, saints at Cross Point. And she says, "Run the race with perseverance by serving the Lord with all you've got." All the saints salute you. All these people who are so dear and precious to us. All the saints from across the ages salute us today. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There's Peter and John. There's Andrew and there's James. There's Philip and Bartholomew. There's all the early saints that we still know some of their names. Augustine, Saint Francis, John Calvin, John Wesley, Mother Teresa, and lately Billy Graham. All those people that we know their names. And all those lesser known people who weren't as important as those folks, but they were important to us. Average, ordinary Christian people who meant a lot in our lives, in our extended families, our grandparents, our parents, our aunts and uncles. All of these people salute us today on All Saints Sunday. They're a great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on. They're telling us to run this race with perseverance. We are to gain encouragement for them. For although they rest from their labors, they still live on in our hearts. And we must continue the struggle. We are the militant saints, if I might use that word. It's probably not politically correct today, but political correctness, hogwash with it. We are the militant saints. And to honor those who've gone before us, we must continue to strive faithful, true, and bold, energized by the salute of the saints, equipped and enabled by the grace of God and the love of Jesus and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one with Thee, because all are Thine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're celebrating the saints today, and so as we come to this table of communion, how appropriate that we celebrate communion as we're also celebrating the communion of saints as we come to the communion table today. Let us not only keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, let us also give thanks and remember those people special to us who've gone on to be with the Lord. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for special people in our lives, for these names that we are about to read, who fall in the long, long, long line of people who gave their lives to You centuries ago and who now make up the church triumphant, the church glorified, the saints, Your saints. And we who are still living upon this earth recognize them today and give thanks for each and every one of them, for the import they had and the influence in our lives and how even many of them influenced us to come to Christ. What more can we say than thank You, thank You, thank You for their memories? They still live on in our hearts. We still hold them dear. We will never forget them. They are part of who we are and will continue to be so until we go to meet with them. And on that glorious day, what a triumph and a celebration that will be as the saints are joined all together in heaven to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.